What's up, Gopher fans? Today, we got my man, one of my favorite teammates of all time, Mr. Trevor Mbakwe on the pod today.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having me.
Trev, thanks for getting on with me today. So we brought Trev in here just to bring a good perspective on what's going to go on this Gopher season. I'd say out of all teammates I had, Trev was definitely one of those guys who always focused on kind of that game plan, that scouting ahead of time, and the importance of that prep work before we got into the games, before we got into the season. And that's one of those things that we want to bring you, that player's lens and that player's view of really how you want to approach everything. And then just give some tips and pointers on how we think we should be approaching things this season as Gopher fans, and then also the player's perspective. I think Trev had an opportunity to go into a practice recently, right, Trev?
Yeah, well, I saw the practice a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, how was that?
It was good. I mean, I'm excited to watch the guys play. I know they're excited to play. You know, we lost a lot of key guys last year with Amir leaving early for the draft. Jordan leaving out also. But I think it's going to give guys a lot of chance to step up. We have a young team. I think it's going to be a big year for Dan. You know, he's going to step up and have a big year, especially with Jordan gone and, you know, not really having with Eric Curry getting hurt, unfortunately, which I feel real bad for him. You know,
yeah, that's tough.
Dealing with that again is definitely a struggle. And, you know, hopefully he keeps his spirits up and, you know, he has a couple more years to play and, I know, bounce back from this down period. But I'm excited. Looking forward for the game Tuesday. I think it'll be a big game to start the season. I think we went Oklahoma, second game of the season, or Oklahoma State, one of those two. So I think it's a good test the first couple games to kind of get the young guys acclimated and get the season start off on a good note.
For sure, for sure. I guess, I mean, jumping into it, I've been seeing Dan Oturu for a few years now. I've seen him on the court, off the court. I just can't help but see a little, I guess, young you in him, just how his game is and I guess where I can see his game go. I mean, did you see any bits of you when you were watching him the other day at practice coming into it, or what do you see out of Dan and where he could go?
I'm a big fan of Dan. I think, you know, just a sophomore. I mean, he's obviously longer than I am, so 6'9", 6'10". That helps out a lot. I think just having the ability to play his freshman year and kind of learn and have a great player like Jordan and Amir, like the upperclassmen, to kind of teach him what to do and he kind of, like, learn. Or he saw firsthand what kind of potential he could have from just watching Jordan have a historic run with the Gophers. But I'm definitely excited to watch him personally. You know, I love watching other big guys. Hopefully, he's been doing a good job the last couple of games with rebounding, which is going to be key for this team, especially, you know, we're kind of undersized, especially with Eric being out. But I think the sky's the limit with Dan. You know, like I say, he's only a sophomore. He's going to continue to grow, continue to get stronger. And he's going to be a big leader at a young age for this team if they want to have success.
Yeah, for sure. That Eric Curry injury hurts so much. I was at the game earlier last week, the exhibition game, and you can see that injury really hurts with Eric Curry not being in there. Dan really being that main focal point. Him coming off such a big freshman campaign, I mean, these coaches in the Big Ten aren't new to this at all. We know that. So just I think we got to expect that Dan's going to get a lot of double teams thrown at him. A lot of things are going to happen this season. I mean, kind of what's his biggest focus he's got to work on? I think you've been in the post a few times where you've been really that main presence there. You don't have, per se, a four guy that can really take off some of that pressure. I mean, what does he have to focus on and really going in, day out? Because it's easy to get frustrated.
Yeah, it's going to be a big test for him this year. Because he's going to be challenged physically, emotionally, mentally every game, especially when the Big Ten come around. You know, it's definitely he's going to be one of the first two guys that they key in on. Like, hey, we got to neutralize him or prevent him from being a big dominant zone, you know, for the game, X factor for the game. But, you know, he's just going to be a tester. It's going to be battle tested. But I think that's a big reason why he decided to stay home. He loves the challenge. He wants to, you know, play in the Big Ten, which is arguably the best conference year in, year out. But, you know, just got to stay locked in. You know, every game is going to be different. You know, he's going to have games where he has 15, 20 rebounds. He's going to have games where he has 2 rebounds. And it's going to be a big test for him moving forward. And, you know, it's going to be once he escapes this, it's going to be even easier for him as years go on.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's going to be tough, man. I think one of the biggest keys this year is going to be that rebounding.
Yeah.
Like, gang rebounding. I think a lot of times, I even notice, you probably don't even realize it, but I tell the people's story all the time. sophomore year to junior year, one of the biggest differences I noticed from our teams, so post-Tubby, pre-Patino era, the rebounding that we lost. Mm-hmm. I think you almost get crippled by good rebounding, and you don't even realize what you're losing. I think, I mean, we had you and Rodney, mm-hmm. and you two are probably two of the best rebounders in the history of the Big Ten. So we have you for back-to-back years where those guards, man, you almost get used to the bigs going after it. And literally, we talk about you two being two of the best. They literally had the best in Jordan Murphy, yeah. right? They had the best one last year and now with even Eric with Curry Amir, not being there.
Amir being on the wing at the guard position, 6'8", 6'9", can come in and rebound.
That's huge.
You know, you have Dan, obviously, too. And so it's definitely a big drop-off.
It's going to be a big drop-off. And I think it's going to be important for, like, the guards. Like, that's the biggest thing. Those guards going to have to come in. That's extra effort.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to tough
it. It's always key, though. When you have guards who can get you 3, 4, 5 rebounds that you know consistently. I think a lot of coaches I've always preached to the guards. Like, you know, go and get 4 rebounds. You get 4 rebounds, that's a good sign for us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of times, especially in the Big Ten, either getting boxed out or you're playing against bigger guys, so you're not going to be able to box this big guy out and then get the rebound also. So, but, I mean, if you want to win games, rebounds are always the key. During our year, we're always, you know, one of the best offensive rebound teams in the country. Defensively, I think we're, you know, average, but I think a lot of people, like for me, I love more getting offensive rebounds. Yeah. Give you more opportunity to score, but it's definitely going to be a challenge. I know Patino's probably one of the things that he preaches because, you know, we can't rely on Dan to get 12, 13 rebounds a game because, I mean, it's pretty much impossible unless you're Jordan Murphy, but right. It's going to be a challenge. And, you know, we have some size on the wing. Jarvis, you know, he with his athleticism and his ability at the 4-3 position, I think he can come in and get some big rebounds. And, you know, even Sam, I know he's a project. I think he's got the potential there. He's really athletic. And, you know, the minutes he's able to spell for Dan will be huge for us, especially once the Big Ten gets around or the conference play comes around.
Yeah, the conference play is coming, going to come fast here. And I think a lot of stuff we're talking about, it's a young team, so it's going to be a process. I mean, you hear the term project. It's going to be a long journey. They're going to have to keep battling. But, I mean, as a young team, like, what's important at this point? Obviously, right, you want to get a good chemistry, you want to get a good feel, but, like, what are you looking at, right? I mean, if you're somebody who's coming back, you're a returner, you have a lot of new guys around you, like, what type of pieces you think are important to really get in place before we hit that Big Ten season?
I think the leadership, I think the guys who've been around kind of explain to you, because obviously the coaches, Patino, those guys can say whatever they want to say, but it's your peers that you're going to most of the time listen to. And I think just having that chemistry and, you know, guys like even Dan, I know he's a sophomore, but he's going to have a big role as a team leader, big vocal leader for this team. But, you know, they just got to take it day by day. It's a young team. They just got to get better and consistent. I mean, one of the things that always followed me was, I think Coach Smith was the one told us, was like, never get too high, never get too low. You might have a big game, you score 30 versus, you know, Michigan State, number one team in the country. And then, you know, you got to be able to not get too high, but you got to stay level-headed because that's going to be a good thing for this young team moving forward.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to get tough at times, yeah. Obviously. And I think the best teams, or at least the best stretches of teams I've seen are the ones, like you said, who had those coaches in the locker room, because you know how it is.
And yeah.
A lot of people probably don't know how it is, but when it comes to those hard February months, or even when it hits that winter break for the first time, and you're really in it for the long haul, the Big Ten grind, there's a lot of ups and downs. Like, you can get down, and the coaches, I mean, they got a job. Yeah. And they're frustrated, and they saying some stuff you ain't heard before. And yeah, it's
throwing
tough.
Chairs.
We won't say anything. Yeah. But, I mean, no, it's a grind at that time. And I think the teams that figure that out, you know what I mean, not the teams that are just going out every day to please the coach, but the teams that are going out every day to please themselves as one cohesive unit, right? Working together, like having that coach be the guy, but not just going out there doing what he says, because stuff's going to get tough for him, right? But those teams that really work together.
But I'm excited to see, like, being young, obviously, it makes them hungry, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see their approach, you know?
Right.
A lot of people are down on this year. The projections, I think, bottom five, bottom six of the conference, and, you know, just having that hunger, like, being gym rats and, you know, being like, hey, you know what, we're going to shock the world type mentality, and that's kind of what I'm excited to see, like, their approach starting the season and, you know, kind of see how hungry they are and, like, that type of, you know, kind of, you know, just kind of what kind of emotions they come out with to start season and, like, to, you know, like, I'm going to prove the world wrong type mentality. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for that part. I think that always can be a good thing with young guys. You know, they're going to give 100% effort and energy and stuff like that. And that's what Patino wants from them. And that's what they're going to need to have success.
Definitely, definitely. That's why every coach loves the freshmen come in. They're trying to come in, take spots. And that's kind of, I think, everybody kind of has a chip on their shoulder this year, right? They all have something to prove. But, no, that takes me to a good next point as far as leadership, right? And where we're going to find that leadership. And not a lot of young guys back, but a person I did want to talk about was Marcus Carr, right? He transferred, a Pitt transfer, had to sit out last season, unfortunately, because of the NCAA. We won't get into those conversations on this podcast, but soon we will. Terrible decision by them. But anyway, in talking about that, he was somebody that sat on the sideline last year. So didn't necessarily play, right? But did get to see a full Big Ten season. Did get to see a guy in Amir elevate from a second-team, big-team guy to an NBA, right, player, someone who did get picked up on a roster. So he did see a lot. And I remember last season, I went to a scrimmage. And I talked to Coach P a little bit, and he was super high on Marcus Carr. He was just super high on his leadership, always making those right plays. But as far as a point guard, I mean, I'll always be the first one to say, I mean, he's the quarterback on the court, right? He's can be the vocal leader, right, by actions. He'll be the one that's making the plays, right? As high as he is, that's how the team's going to be. As low as he is, that's how the team's going to be. I mean, you as a big, you play with a few good guards. You play with a few all Big Ten guards, actually. Mm-hmm. You had Al Wright for a good portion of time. You had a young Dre Hollins in a good prime time in his career. Right. I mean, is that who you're going to look to, right? Even though Dan's been there, is it going to be a lot of Dan looking to see kind of how Marcus covers him, or how do you look at your point guard?
I think, yeah, Marcus, like you said, he's the quarterback of the team. He's the extension of the court, the coach on the court. And, you know, the guys are going to go as far as your point guard takes you. And like you said, I've been lucky to have great point guards around me. I'm excited to see Marcus. I know he had some big games. I know so far since he's, you know, last couple of games of exhibition and then the secret quote-unquote scrimmage that they had versus Iowa State. But I think the potential is good for him. I think he's exactly what we need. He had a really good freshman season at Pitt, from what I recall. I think, you know, he led the team in points or whatever, in assists as a freshman. And, you know, like I said, I think sometimes sitting out that year, if you transfer or just period, you kind of get a good different feel for the game and kind of understand it from a different point. And I think that for us to have success, definitely we need a big play from him. I think our backup guards are freshmen, so like they're going to have like their ups and downs, obviously, just being freshmen. And it's kind of him being a redshirt sophomore. I think, you know, he knows what we need. He knows how to facilitate games, and he's been doing it at a high level for a long period of time. So I think, you know, just his ability to create contact and get to the free throw line, do those type of things, is definitely going to be good for us and, you know, what we need at that position.
Yeah, I loved his ability in that exhibition game against Southwest Minnesota State. His ability at the end of the clock and just even early in the clock to get to the rim, absorb the contact, then finish through it, or just get to the line. That's important. I mean, any offense in college, but especially if you've noticed the offense over the last few seasons, when you see the Amirs, you see the Nates, going back to our day, you see the Dre Hollins, you see even the DeAndre Matthew at the end of the shot clock, a lot of those dead plays, you know, Coach P relies on that point guard to make the right decision. And 50% of the time is going to be that five-man coming out for a ball screen, 1-5 action, they're going to go.
Yeah, two-man game.
And he's going to have to go make a play at the rim. He's going to have to make the right decision. I do trust the fact that he has played, right, in a high-level environment at Pitt. I think it's going
to And honestly, he's going to have to make plays, you know.
You got to.
We're not that skilled offensively, and it's going to be definitely struggles being a young team and, you know, losing the mayor and, like, Jordan, those guys who we kind of like depend on a lot. Towards the end of the shot clock. So he's got the ball's gonna be in his hand a lot, especially, you know, 10 seconds left, like you said, high ball screen. What do you, Marcus, gotta make a play for
he's
us?
He's got to, yeah, he's got to. I mean, you got him, and then, I mean, it brings up a point with Gabe. Yeah. You know, you got Gabe too. Gabe, one of the best shooting forms I've seen come through here, but he's
a great shooter.
Gabe's gonna be important too. It's always scary. You don't wanna talk too much about the shooters ever, because you never wanna jinx it, right? Yeah. You never wanna jinx what's going on, but like, Is it a key for him just to continue shooting at that clip? Or, I mean, what do you want to see out of Gabe from your perspective? For me, I love how he's shooting that thing, but as far as stretching his game out, because we may we may need him to put the ball on the floor a little more than he was in the past, just because, like you said, we have limited just playmakers off the bounce. I mean, what are you expecting? What do you want to see out of Gabe for that?
Gabe, I think he's just kind of built off the year he had last year. He has a lot of big games for us. You know, he got hot. You know, like you say, he's a great shooter. And, you know, we got to get him open. We got to get him open looks. Make it a good feel for, like, as a big man, I love getting my shooters open.
Right.
Like, once they knock down shots, it's going to be easier for us. So I got to play with Blake Hoffarb and those guys.
Oof.
Yeah. I started the game, like, hey, I'm going to get you open. Because I know once you get you catch fire, everything else is going to be easy for us, because then guys have to pay more attention to you. And, but yeah, I mean, Gabe's, he know, he's been playing long enough, so he got to continue to do what he does well, which is shoot the ball. And obviously, if he's able to, you know, put off the put on the floor and do those type of things, and obviously, the more he can do, the better we are going to be for us. Especially, like I said, we're going to have definitely challenges on the offensive end at times. But I'm excited to see him, you know, this year, especially like how he kind of, how the season he's coming off from last year. And I think he's definitely, like, you know, him and Dan are, and Marcus are probably our top three guys who we're going to need good things from on a daily, consistent basis if we want to have success. And I think, you know, he's a competitor. He's a gym rat from everything I've heard from him. And he's a local guy, so I know he wants to, you know,
you know,
put on for his state, which is, which is always a great thing. And so I'm excited for him.
Yeah, I like that. That local thing is bigger now with those two guys. So it's good to see. Hopefully that brings some of those recruits. But, yeah, like you said, just being a gym rat, like, one of the biggest things from Gabe, I hope he consistently shoots at a high clip this year. I hope he really breaks down the defense, opens up for Marcus and Dan a lot more. But I see a lot of, and it's easy to compare because they both can shoot it, but Austin Hollins and him, right? Just because how Coach P used to refer to Austin was a consummate professional, right? That's just how he preferred to him, because he always came into the gym ready to work.
Right.
He always, really, with Austin, it was more so he always came into the room ready to work. It wasn't just the gym, but wherever Austin went, he was ready to work. And from the limited access I've seen Gabe and how he carries himself, I see that same thing. And like we talked about earlier, a lot of it this year is going to be that leadership, right? Who's going to step up? The young guys, who's going to step up in that bunch, as well as the young guys, who's going to look ahead at the upperclassmen and say, oh, this is how I should act. This is how I should carry myself. And I think Gabe, it's going to be huge and key for him to shoot that thing. But it's going to be pretty big for Gabe to actually be a guy in the locker room that they can look at and say, that's how I need to carry myself and actually be that consummate professional.
Right. No, no, for sure. I mean, and Dave, Gabe, he came from a great program, too. De La Salle, those guys. Those guys come out ready, you know. Coach Bledsoe and Thorson, those guys, what they did at De La Salle is always great. So whenever you get a guy from De La Salle, you know, like, their head's going to be on right. And that, you know, that you can expect that they're going to be professionals. But like you said, the big thing right now is who's going to be the step, who's going to be the leader of the team. You know, our key guys are all sophomores usually. And, you know, I think Michael Hurst, he's been around for a while, stuff like that. So obviously he's had the experience and he's going to be able to have this piece too. But like you said, like in order for this team to do anything, like Dan, Marcus, Gabe, those guys are going to have to be the leaders that the team needs.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you know, that's a good point. From the De La Salle kind of that stream of players that I've seen go to even other schools too, they all kind of carry themselves in a professional level. I think that's a testament to Thorson and then what Bledsoe's doing over there right now. That's huge, and that really gets guys prepared for that next level. The guys who start preparing as high school athletes and student athletes and start
makes the transition so much easier.
Going through those motions, right? The coaches that put them in that position, though, because guys don't know that, right? No. High school dudes, they don't know that because they got one job, just to hoop and be the best on the court. But, like, that's why I respect coaches like the Thorsons and how Bledsoe's running it there, right? A few guys back from St. Louis where you have, like, a Blossom was my coach, and then a guy, Chaminade, who coached, like, the Jason Tails and the Brad Beals, right? And then you have up here, like, when you talk about Hopkins, right, and how they come
Novak,
in. You talk about Novak, and, right, I talked to, like, Joe and a lot of those guys at Hopkins and how they prepared themselves on game days and practices and, right, shoot-arounds, like, it's a lot of dudes that come to college and they have to go through all that. And all they used to is tying up the shoes and walking on the court.
Yeah.
But, like, that's huge to have somebody actually prepare for that going into it. But Hurt's going to be a huge factor as well, too. Hurt's going to be a huge factor.
For sure,
he
has to. Is he our oldest guy on the team?
Yeah, I mean, is that – it's, you know, we're still getting used to this new roster here, right? But he probably would be the oldest on the roster at this point. And so he's somebody that, right, that locker room presence.
Oh, Demir's going to be big, too, for us.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. In the first game, I saw he's able to put the ball on the floor a little bit and get there. But he's going to have to get scrappy. Yeah. This is the Big Ten.
Yeah.
When you play Michigan State, you know. It's like you rebounded against 10 different players.
Yeah, nah.
And so he's going to have to get in there and get scrappy. That first game, I know he can't get his feet wet, get used to it, but he's going to have to get in there and really board. It's going to have to be a game rebounding.
And it's funny you mentioned Michigan State. I remember my first game, my first Big Ten game, and we played Michigan State. And within, like, it was like the first TV timeout we had, and everybody talks about, you know, obviously they always won. Izzo, like, has one of the best rebounding teams ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, looking at Coach Taylor, I was like, it was like three rebounds. Like, one of the players jumped over my back. Obviously, the refs don't call nothing because it's at Michigan State. And I was like, man, this is gonna be a long season if all the games are like this. Because, like you said, like, it's physical. That's why I love the Big Ten, even though, like, the rules obviously are, you know, changing and they're trying to, like, lessen the physical physicality and stuff like that. But those guys, like, they're those teams like that, they're always gonna be ready. And, you know, they're gonna test you early. And if you back down, you don't get exposed. And we have to have, like, that's gonna be one of the things too with our younger guys. Like, when that conference schedule gets around here, like, they're gonna get challenged. And we're gonna, you know, you got to put up or shut up, basically, that mentality. Yeah. Like, what are you gonna do? Because
that's it. And that's gonna be one of those things that Dan's gonna have to bring it and show that at practice a few times. I mean, when I think about it, coming in 2011, and you're kind of that senior guy, but we had a lot of young, good talent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Austin Hollins, their sophomore, right? Mo Elliott, then you have Andre Hollins, Joe, he's a freshman. We're playing against some big teams. That's when we wanted to really start competing. Sophomore year, when we make that tournament run, a lot of it was like, y'all really prepping us, right? Yeah. Like, yo, it's about to get real, right? In practice, y'all starting to throw a few elbows at us, starting to bring that stuff out, kind of getting into it, right? Because you got to get ready for it. Because when you start playing those teams, I mean, our freshman year, our first Michigan State team, like, that front line is Draymond and Nix. Yeah. And if you remember that Michigan State team, I know you going up against them, and you got Payne coming in as a backup.
Mm-hmm.
So you got some boys that's come ready to play, so it's going to happen every year. That's just how Michigan State recruits. That's how they do it. And that's why, I mean, I'm even going back to it, that's going to be a lot of hurt, too, and really keeping that morale up in the team, because they're going to get knocked in the face a few times. And you can turn your back quick, right?
Yeah.
They're going to have to – he's going to have to keep them up in that locker room. But one of the points I wanted to touch on before we finished up was this – idea started last season, and I just want to get your opinion on it, because I think it's a terrible idea, and I think we need to just write a letter to the Big Ten, so maybe this can start the petition. But you know about this whole non-conference, play a Big Ten game, go back to non-conference, and then play the Big Ten? I thought that the scheduling people made a mistake, but I mean, I don't know.
I was confused about last year because I was back for winter break. For us, and I was able to catch a Big Ten, the opener, I think, who we play, Maryland or somebody. It was like end of November, first week of December. It was confusing to me. I don't like it. I mean, I've heard both sides. They give us extra games, an extra couple games, and, you know, TV and all this other stuff, and being New York, the regional, all that other stuff. But I'm not a fan of it. You know, to me, it's like, it's kind of hard to, like, go from playing your non-conference, playing a big game. Like, we opened up against Maryland, was a top 20 team, and then you go back to playing, like, you know, bottom Big Ten to our
right, like D1 Bohemian
school.
State. Yeah.
And then you don't play you don't play another Big Ten game for another 3 weeks. So no, it's like, terrible. It's you're at a disadvantage, especially with those top teams. Like, if you lose early, you know,
right.
And like, it kind of puts you at a disadvantage already. But I'm not a fan, but I get it. I mean,
I guess I get the business of it, and I guess they have to fit a lot of games within the schedule and more Big Ten, and we don't need to get into that. But also, I think there's always a workaround, and I think that's just a matter of somebody within the Big Ten doing a little bit more work and making that right. Because as a player, I mean, and as a coach, you know, like, the trajectory of the season, that's, it just doesn't make sense. In the prep of the season, right, the hypeness of coming into the Big Ten season ready to go, right? Like, honestly, one of the most marquee memories I have throughout my career is that first Big Ten game. I feel like it was always around New Year's.
Right.
I feel like we were always on the road. Like, we were at Michigan State a few New Year's Eves. Like that is something you prepare for your entire time. And then when you're in it, you're in it.
But it's nice, too, because like you said, leading up to it, we always had that winter break. So you have those 2 weeks to prepare for that Big Ten game. Or you obviously had, like, a little team that we played here and there, like, right around Christmas.
Yeah.
You had, like, that week straight that, okay, now the season's open. Now we're about to get, like, now it's really about to get started.
Mm-hmm.
But like, here, like, looking at the schedule, so we got Iowa on the road. Then we got Ohio State. And then we have Oklahoma State, FIU. Then we go back to start on the road versus Purdue, the top 25 team. So it's like, how do you go?
It doesn't make sense, but
a big rival in Iowa, then you got a top 20 team, Ohio State is your home opener, and then you have two random games in between there. And then it's just like a lot of inconsistency on my part. But I like the extra two games that they have. Is it two? There's 18 games now, right? Or yeah. No, it's always, or is it 20 games now?
I think it might be 20, I don't know. We'll have to check in on that.
But yeah.
We'll have to check in on that. But no,
yeah.
Last thing, no, I guess I can give you time to think about it. We can add it for a while anyway. But the last thing, I mean, why not? Let's do a few little predictions here going into the season.
First, gotta know how many games there are.
First, gotta know how many games there are. Not per se, we don't really need to go into record predictions at this point. But this season, I mean, I think you could probably guess who do you think will be just that offensive player of the year this year? Just that offensive impact player.
Yeah. For our team, I'm going Marcus.
Marcus.
I'm going Marcus.
Marcus.
Who you got?
You know, that pause should show you that I was probably thinking Marcus, but you're right. You made it sound good. I'm thinking. Gabe.
Okay.
I'm thinking Gabe. I think it will be tough because they know he is that shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But I trust in Coach P and knowing where his strengths really lie and just his offensive strategy and being able to get shooters open a lot of time. It is pretty good. And if he can really key in on getting him open as much as he can, as well as the reason I say it, I think he's going to play the most minutes.
Yeah, he's going to play. I don't see him come out the
one,
game.
One, he might not come out the game.
It's funny. I saw Marcus or Ryan James, somebody tweet that he might play all 20,000 minutes allotted or something.
when you look at it, why not? You know, Coach P wants him in there because that's a bucket. Three's greater than two. And then I think so just because he's not going to foul.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key.
He can't foul.
He's a really good defender, actually, mm-hmm. too, though. But he's a smart defender. I just don't think he's going to foul that much. Where, as a young guard, a lot of young guards on the roster, I do think we're going to get into foul trouble with them a lot. So mm-hmm. I just think he's just going to have to play, and he's just going to have to produce and put it in there.
Gabe and Dan, for sure, those two players who can't get in foul trouble.
Oh, Gabe and Dan are so key. I mean, really, it's... We're going to go as far as you got to label them as sort of just a big three at this point and playing it to be as your point guard, as your quarterback. But with Marcus, with Dan, with Gabe, right, that triangle type style, like those three are going to have to come ready to play and they're going to have to produce a lot. And I think those three will probably be 70% of the offense this year, whether it's assisted on or scored on. Mm-hmm. But they're both going to be key.
So what's your thoughts? On the whole season, where are we finishing?
I mean...
What's your expectations for this year's group?
Oh, so this... don't put me in this position, right? But no, this group...
This is your podcast. I ask you questions.
Yeah, this group's going to be tough. It's going to be tough because they're so young. When I look at the talent on the team, they're as good as a lot of teams I've seen over the past few years. I've followed the team closely, but... This year is going to be tough because they're so young. Mm-hmm. And when you're this young, it's not about your first 10 games, right? Go 10-1. That's huge. That's huge for a mentality. That's huge for knowing you belong, right? Like, yes, we're in the Big Ten for a reason. We beat you bums. That's how you got to look at it. We beat y'all for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get into that Big Ten play, that's when the mentality has to really stay locked in. And that's when, like, the late January, early February hits, and that's where this team's going to get tested.
Right.
It's going to be tested because it's not a guess. It's just a fact. That's how the Big Ten works. These coaches been here for a long time. They've been doing this stuff for a long time. And we've been on, me, you, and myself, we've been on teams in the Big Ten that have been young and that have been old. This is a young team, but this is also a team that has somewhat experience, right? In a weird way, a little bit of experience. So I think, I mean, I see them finishing middle of the pack, and I think they'll be one of those bubble-type contenders if they continue to push throughout the year and stay up at the ends of those games. And most of the games are going to be 3 or 4 or 5 point games. Like, that's going to be the thing. Like, so it's going to be a matter of how they're going to finish. And if they can finish those games, finish the majority of them, they should be good.
That's where Marcus comes in. That's where Dan comes in. Gabe comes in. That's finish those games. Like you said, a lot of those tough games are going to come down to 2 possessions.
Yeah.
I don't know the stat where it used to be. Is like most games, NBA, college, have come down to like what the last 2 possessions are like, are the point difference is like 2 or 3 points, and which is, you know, in Big Ten especially, like those 2 or 3 points can, you know, can win the call. Like, you either be 7-2 to start season, or you could be 2-7 to start the season, our Big Ten season. But I don't know, just looking at our schedule, like, you know, we have Michigan State twice, we're always going to be tough. You know, mm-hmm. obviously, don't be the best team in the country. But I see a lot of winnable games. Like, we have 6 ranked opponents, 5 ranked opponents. But, you know, obviously, there's no easy games in the Big Ten, but I could see a surprise in a few bunch. And, mm-hmm. you know, especially this young group of guys who are, you know, the stage is going to be big for them, and I think a lot of them will show up and have to show up if we want to have a chance of winning.
Yeah, they have to show up. I mean, if you look at the conference over the past few seasons, look at some of the young teams, the team I think of is like an Illinois team. They were pretty young last season. They started winning a few games just because they had guys at the end of the day. If you can hoop, you can hoop.
Right.
Put the ball in the bucket. And that's where I think we will surprise a lot of teams, because a lot of it, is scouting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, junior year when Gophers won NIT, our team, we weren't scouted that well. DeAndre Matthew, he wasn't scouted at all. That's why he was able to get it in the bucket, right? It was a little different the next year. They were able to scout him a lot more. This season, they're not going to be able to scout a lot of these guys. When you think of a Marcus Carr who hasn't played against these guys a lot. And so at the end of the clock situations, like, that's going to be key. This season, that scoring at the end of the clock, at the end of the game, the end of the shot clock, who's going to be able to get a bucket? Mm-hmm. And I do trust that we will be able to get a bucket a lot of the time if we have the right guys on the court. Marcus Carr, from what I've seen, he can go finish at the rim, absorb contact. You have Gabe. If he's able to spot up, right, if Marcus is able to penetrate, Gabe's able to spot up, that's good as well, mm-hmm. right? Then you have a guy we didn't talk much about, Peyton Willis, right? We didn't see him much either. We didn't see him much either. And so Peyton Willis, right, he wasn't able to play. He didn't play last year, but in seeing him in that first game, it looks like he can get hot quick. He had the first 3 of the game. He can shoot it.
Reminds me a little bit like DeVoe. I don't know if you guys remember him, but DeVoe, like, you know, kind of can get hot at times. I don't know if he scored to that high of efficiency.
At that clip, I don't know if he's a bucket getter as per se as DeVoe, but we'll see.
Because
he gets some, they're going to put him in that situation. Because I think we're going to have a lot of time, end of the shot clock. This is going to be the scene most of the time. It's going to be Marcus at the top, right? It's going to be a dead play. Dan's going to have to come set that high ball screen. Marcus is going to either have to make a decision to hit the roll guy. He's either going to have to hit that 4-man popping up. He's going to have to get a bucket, or he's going to have 2 wings. He's going to have Gabe on the left. He's going to have Peyton on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to, each are going to have their equal opportunities. Most of the time, Gabe's going to shoot that day, right? Peyton, we're going to have to see what he's going to be able to do, too, because that's going to be the options at the end of the game. Those are going to be the 4 options. And from what I see, and you can tell, right? You can tell the first exhibition game who's been getting buckets in practice. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Peyton, you can tell he been getting buckets in practice because he was confident. He going from the wing, getting that bucket each time, right?
Right.
So he's getting those buckets. So it's going to be key for him to make sure he inserts himself, and confidence is going to be everything for him. Like, you got to instill confidence. Right. If you don't have the confidence,
I think it can the team is one of those good players, or one of those good coaches. Like, when I was a big fan of him the year after I left, you know, just watching him, like, give the ball, like, hey, let your guards make a play, and kind of mm-hmm. like, hey, you know, and I think, you know, obviously a lot of coaches will kind of limit players, stuff like that, but obviously Pitino wants you controlled, but like he's not one of those coaches going to be like, hey, like, you know, just got to run offense, don't do nothing, you know. But so like it gives opportunity for guys to, you know, if something breaks down to, you know, you have the freedom to do what you need to do.
Yeah.
As long as, you know, obviously you're not doing nothing crazy like.
Well, exactly. No, I think that's completely true. And that's a good observation. Even you not even like being in that huddle with them, but seeing that, that is what I saw too. I saw like, and really taking a look at him when he coached, he spoke a lot when we were on the defensive end, right? Mm-hmm. But I like what Coach P did. He really didn't talk that much as far as on the offensive end. That does give you freedom. That's why you brought that up. That's going to help like your Paytons and your Marcuses right now. Because right, if you get on them too early and they lose that little bit of confidence, we don't really have nobody on the bench to say, hey, come in, right?
It's so definitely going to be a big test for Pitino because, you know, like I said, his first year with the lack of experience. So he always had guys he kind of count on, or like, you know, a good mix. And right now, like, all our key guys are, you know, sophomores. And like you said, like, there's many times I know he wants to, like, just cuss somebody out or do whatever. Not saying Coach Pitino cuss. I'm sure he never cussed a day in his life.
Heck no.
But, you know, just like, you know, just sometimes you got to live with the good with the bad. You know, a sophomore might make 3 good plays and 5 shitty ones, or excuse my language, 5 bad ones. But you got to keep their spirits up because once your confidence is shot, it's hard to replace, especially once the way the schedule's set up. You know, you have big games with the big games and you need everybody. So, like, it's going to be a big test for him, big challenge for him. But, you know, that's why he gets paid the big bucks.
Exactly. Coach. That is why he gets paid the big bucks. But there is like, a unique psychology from all the coaches. We've been through a lot of coaches. I think both of you and I only been in one school. But Gopher fans, y'all been through a lot of coaches, too, here. But in going through the coaches, it's a real psychology to that aspect you just talked about. The Big Ten season is a grind.
Yeah.
Literally. Typical week is a Monday game, a Thursday game, and probably a Sunday game. Mm-hmm. Then the next week is a Tuesday, then a Thursday, then maybe a Friday and Saturday. You know what I mean? And so it's every other day or every day or every other day. And it's a huge, huge, huge plus if you have a coach who has the ability to motivate you and push you in a way where you feel challenged, but you don't feel so challenged that you turn around and run away.
Right.
Because you don't have time for that.
Nah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you can't be soft for those dudes throughout that season, right? Like, or you're going to get blitzed all Big Ten season. You have to challenge them. But you have to find a way, right, to challenge them but still elevate them. That makes sense?
No, I believe that's what earlier when I said, like, you know, I kind of got to stay balanced. Like, never get too high, never get too low. Because especially the Big Ten, you know, you might have 20 versus Michigan State. The next two, you might score 7 points combined. But then you have another game 2 days from that. So you can't be like, oh, man, that's like, wow, I suck. And, like, being your own head because we need you at your top form. Especially, I remember, like, my last year, we went from being top 15, top 20, and we had, like, a crazy schedule coming up. Like, I think 4 of our next 5 games were against top 12 teams.
Right.
And 2 on the road, we had an ESPN, big ESPN game against Michigan, who were, like, top 5. Then we had Indiana was another top 10 team. And then it was, like, Purdue was something crazy. I was just like, but, hey, you just got to go to the next game.
I think we beat Indiana.
We beat them the second. I think the first time we had them on the road, and we had Wisconsin come. It was like literally 5 teams in the top 15 at that time in the Big Ten, and we played them all like back to back pretty much. But I mean, that's the beauty, like, as competitors, like, just being playing in big conferences of Power 5, like, we go to schools for that challenge, and, you know, like, in days, like, what are you gonna do? You gotta perform. So a lot of these guys, a big opportunity from being sophomores, being underclassmen, to kind of show their worth, show, like, prove themselves to everybody, and, you know, kind of leap, like, get a good start in their career moving forward. So I'm excited to watch these guys and watch the opportunity that they have and see what Pitino, you know, what he can do for this team. So I'm optimistic about this team. I think they have potential, and obviously there's gonna be some bad days, and you just gotta ride the wave.
Ride the wave. Let's see. All right. Well, we're going to see. We're going to jump into this season. We're going to leave all y'all with that. I appreciate your time today, Trev. Y'all will hear from Trev again soon here as we get into this season. We'll probably be taking a lot more questions from y'all as well that we can go over after hearing a little more about our perspective here. But appreciate your time, Trev. And
thanks for having me.
Next time we'll talk.
Yeah.
All right. Let's end it.